broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, and happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for November the 9th of the year of our Lord, 2023. This is Hour 2 of 2. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America with its checks and balances and the whole bit to protect us, we the people. That is the solution, the checks and balances. We need to insist on them. We also need to realize that we need a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A Jesus revolution might work, but a revolution won't work, folks. We need to be peaceful. We need to set the standard for solutions. All right. I'm going to start out with the words of Daily Caller for this hour of the show. Well, there's no point mincing words. Election night 2023 was an absolute bloodbath for Republicans across the country. Democrats prevailed in all three of the most, quote, anticipated states to watch. We're talking about Ohio, Virginia, and Kentucky. Yet each state holds a lesson for national Republicans next year. Hopefully, the party learns those lessons before next year when the stakes will be much higher. That's Daily Caller. What a summary of what happened in the debate last night and the general state of the Republican Party. The next headline says this: Democrats created a rising tide of victories that swept over two state legislatures, one governor's mansion, a state Supreme Court, and a pair of, quote, ballot initiatives. TheEpicTimes.com with that. Daily Caller and Epic Times really nail this thing with basically, you know, a phrase from each of them. Two of the best news services in the business, I might add as well. Now, the results of the night, they say, although not entirely one-sided, revealed that the Democratic Party has gained momentum by leveraging abortion and railing against what they describe as right-wing extremism in the GOP. With rare exception, the GOP seems to be stuck in neutral. Ladies and gentlemen, the pro-life cause lost big, suffered huge losses in Ohio and in several elections. The question next is, what will happen in 2024? It's a serious question. Now, I don't believe that abortion is the issue, although that's what the Democrats would tell you. I'm with Ron DeSantis on this. I don't believe that. But the way abortion is being framed is the problem. So in Ohio now, you can literally murder a baby. It's codified in their state constitution by edict from the people or mandate from the people that you can literally murder a baby all the way up to delivery. I am disappointed, discouraged, frustrated, angry, concerned, saddened, mortified. I mean, I don't even know what words to use for this, but you're seeing a division in America like you have never seen before. The pro-life versus pro-death camps. And state by state, we're deciding what we are. Okay? And Ohio now is a pro-death camp. I kid you not, it's insane. And it's sad. I spoke out on it. Vivek Ramaswamy spoke out on it last night. Most of the Republican candidates last night in the debate kind of ignored it. Foolishly, I might say. Now, Donald Trump held his own rally, and he said that it's so cringe, it's not even worth watching these other candidates on the stage. I believe for the most part, Donald Trump's right on that. The only one that I believe had any statements that I believe are worth listening to was, believe it or not, Vivek Ramaswamy. The rest was just clown show, same old, I'm a Republican establishment hack and nothing more. Now, the way Donald Trump would say it would be this: with the elections and the debate, both together, Republicans lost bigly. Who or what is to blame is the question. Who or what is to blame? Right? Now, Vivek Ramaswamy, in my opinion, nailed it. Liz, if you can get this ready in the soundbite folder, I've named all the clips. They're like 1 through 12. They're all Vivek's comments. Get ready for one here. I'll play it in just a second. But Vivek Ramaswamy explains, when we talk about who or what is to blame for the huge Republican losses and the lackluster debates and everything else, it's the Republican Party that's to blame. It's the leadership of that party. And Vivek nails it. Here's what he had to say on the debate stage last night. He first attacked the Republican Party, and then he attacked the media and the moderators directly. He flipped the script on them, and everybody freaked. Here it is.
Mr. Ramaswamy, let me turn to you. Please make your case. Why should you be the nominee and not the former president?
I think there's something deeper going on in the Republican Party here, and I am upset about what happened last night. We've become a party of losers at the end of the day. It is a cancer in the Republican establishment. Let's speak the truth. I mean, since Ronna McDaniel took over as chairwoman of the RNC in 2017, we have lost 2018, 2020, 2022, no red wave that never came. We got trounced last night in 2023. And I think that we have to have accountability in our party. For that matter, Ron, if you want to come on stage tonight, you want to look the GOP voters in the eye and tell them you resign, I will turn over my, yield my time to you. And frankly, look, the people there cheering for losing in the Republican Party. Think about who's moderating this debate. This should be Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, and Elon Musk. We'd have 10 times the viewership asking questions that GOP primary voters actually care about and bringing more people into our party. Do you think the Democrats, and we've got Kristen Welker here, do you think the Democrats would actually hire Greg Gutfeld to host a Democratic debate? They wouldn't do it. And so the fact of the matter is, I mean, Kristen, I'm going to use this time because this is actually about you in the media and the corrupt media establishment. Ask you the Trump-Russia collusion hoax that you pushed on this network for years. Was that real or was that Hillary Clinton made up disinformation? Answer the question. Go.
Mr. Ross.
Sorry. This is how we get our country back. We need accountability because this media rigged the 2016 election. They rigged the 2020 election with the Hunter Biden laptop story.
Mr. Ramaswamy,
and they're
going to
rig this election.
Your time is up.
Accountability.
Let me turn
That's
to Governor Christie. Why you?
So they don't know what to do with Vivek at all. They don't know how to handle it. Later in the debate, he asked him another question. At some point, the moderator literally cut off Vivek and said, "We ask the questions, you don't." And let me explain something to you that's critical about this that you need to know. All right? Let me write down what I'm about to say because this comes to you from me. I've got 25-plus years in the media taking on these clowns like never before. Nobody pushes back as hard as I do. I mean, I'm even more hardcore than Donald Trump when it comes to pushing back against the clown media. All right. I know a little bit about what I'm talking about. I've forced all kinds of big organizations to retract and to update their stories with more accurate information and everything else. I'm not new to this. Vivek laid down the law and did it right. Who says that they're the only ones that get to ask the questions? See, we've fallen into this dishonest belief that somehow the media gets to ask the questions and you're forced to answer. You're under the spotlight, and you know what? If you waffle or if you don't answer right or if you make a misstep or you don't speak perfectly or you, then, man, you're just going to get slaughtered by them. No, those days are gone. I've created presentations called He Who Owns the Media Makes the Rules, highlighting this very, very point. All right? I've created presentations called The New Media Takes Center Stage, highlighting that, you know what? Things have changed. The gatekeepers of yesteryear media are gone. And people like us are taking over. And so who says when the media calls Sam Bushman and says, we're going to do a story on you and we want to ask you some questions, who says that they're the only ones to get asked questions? See, whenever they call me, they need to listen to me carefully. I'm asking the questions. They can ask questions if they want to as well. But you either call me and you answer my questions too, or don't call me. We will not have a conversation. And this is what Vivek is doing to them. He's like, hey, you guys have some things to answer for, too. You're not just going to bring up things and try to barbecue me and attack me and unfairly represent me. You're not doing that. I will ask questions as well. And so he flipped the script on them, and he's wise to do this because they don't know what to do when they're forced to answer questions. I want to know, NBC, or you clowns that have painted the dishonest stories about the Hunter Biden laptop, the Clinton dossier lies. Why did you peddle that? Were you deceived by the FBI and you really thought differently? If so, come clean and admit it. You know what? The FBI deceived me and I really thought that was true. Or were you paid to lie? Okay, look, these people have to come clean too. And Vivek's got it right. Well, nobody on the stage but backed up Vivek, which is a disgrace. What Ron DeSantis should have done is said, you know, ladies and gentlemen, Vivek might have been a little hardcore in his delivery, but he's got it right. He's got it right. There's a question for you guys in the media. How come you're carrying these bogus stories that are dishonest about Vivek, about me, about the dossier and the laptop? And okay, in my opinion, Vivek Ramaswamy hit it out of the park. He did a phenomenal job. So that was the first statement he made of the night. When we come back, I'm going to play the last statement he made of the night because I'm telling you, it rocked. And it directly related to the abortion issue that I started out with. And Vivek's got it right. It's the party that's the problem. It's the leadership that's the problem. It's that they won't answer these questions. They don't want to listen to we the people. They don't want to hear any questions from us. But what about a debate where the people ran the debate, not the clowns in the media? Why would you let NBC and these liberal groups run your debate? Because that's what the Republican Party sadly has turned into. And the only one with the guts to call him out on it is Vivek Ramaswamy. Hang tight. We've got more in seconds on your radio.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the debate. We're talking about why the Republicans failed in the debate, why they're failing literally everywhere, and including the 2023 elections where they literally got slaughtered. I mean, it was a disgrace. Because they're not listening to we the people. And Vivek, in my opinion, nailed it last night on the debate stage. And sadly, no one paid attention to him at all. They just ignored his first comment. He literally flipped the script and told the debate moderators, listen, I want you guys to answer a question of why you guys are covering up all this stuff, manipulating. They ignored him. They later said, we ask the questions, you don't. Okay, what a disgrace. And none of the people on the campaign stage backed up Vivek on this. Somebody should have said, you know, there's a valid point here about the Republican Party's leadership. It's a concern. But, of course, if you do that, is that political suicide? So nobody else will touch it with a 10-foot pole? Well, this is the problem with the Republican Party. Nobody wants to hear from the people. Nobody wants to ask the hard questions. And when you do, then they just simply say you're a right-wing nut, you're an extremist, you're a populist. We got to go back to the old guard. Well, the old guard's failed. If you don't believe me, go ask Mike Pence. He already had to drop out. The old guard's a failure. Nobody likes it. Nobody wants it. Okay, that's a fact. Now, they want you to believe that abortion's the issue and abortion's why we lost. I don't agree with that whatsoever. I believe the American people are being propagandized and deceived by the media about abortion. They want you to believe it's about a right for women. Well, Vivek responds to this in an incredible way. Here's the last clip he made of the night on this topic.
We've talked a lot about foreign wars tonight, but we're in the middle of a war right here at home. It's a war not between black and white or Democrat and Republican. It's between those of us who believe in our founding ideals and love this country and a fringe minority who hates the United States of America. And I think it's going to take a commander-in-chief to lead us to victory in that war, who first of all knows that we're in a war. Second of all, can't be captured by the special interests along the way. But third is from the next generation, somebody with fresh legs to lead us to victory. I'll shut down the deep state. I'll declare economic independence from China. I'll keep us out of World War III and then revive national pride in this country. I also want to close with one message to the Democrat Party. End this farce that Joe Biden is going to be your nominee. We know he's not even the president of the United States. He's a puppet for the managerial class. So have the guts to step up and be honest about who you're actually going to put up so we can have an honest debate. Biden should step aside, end his candidacy now so we can see whether it's Newsom or Michelle Obama or whoever else.
All right,
just
Mr.
tell
Ramaswamy,
us the truth so we can have an honest debate.
I don't know how to frame it better than that. The guy literally says it's not Republican, Democrat. It's not left, right. It's not male, female. It's not. It is simply we the people against the deep state. And this war the deep state has declared on us. We don't want a war. But see, nobody agrees with Vivek on this, or at least nobody had the guts to agree or admit or say he's right at all. Okay? The problem is these leaders don't want to listen to the people. They don't want to acknowledge. They say Sam Bushman is a terrorist. At the same time, they let the border leak like a sieve. At the same time, they approve murder in Ohio, codified to the state constitution. And then they say you Republicans are losing. Well, the Republicans don't want to listen. We got to jettison the parties all together. Okay. But anyway, Vivek, between his opening and closing statements, in my opinion, made some brilliant observations. It's the party and the media that's the problem. And it's not like you've been taught by the media about the divide lines. The divide lines are really the deep state, those who won't listen to the rest of us. The rest of us want change. They're not listening. Let me give you a quick example. Last hour, we were talking about electric vehicles or EVs. Nobody wants them, but they're shoving it down our throats with subsidies and mandates and laws and regulations and all kind to the point where it's nuts. They don't care what you and I think or say or believe or anything on this matter, do they? It's just insane. All right, now we're going to go to number two from Vivek Ramaswamy. They covered a lot of different topics in the debate, and it was a little bit different. They didn't have a lot of back and forth, really, except for when Nikki Haley got crazy, kind of whacked out female crazy. But all I can tell you is that they covered a lot of topics. I'm going to let Vivek lead on the topic, and then I'll kind of back into the discussion of who kind of said what. The only sound bites I'm playing are Vivek, because I believe everybody else's sound bites were worthless. Nikki Haley came across like Mike Pence of the old guard, hate-filled, you know, promote the United Nations, reject America, hawkish plan. Nikki Haley came out as the most hawkish person on stage. What a disgrace. Everybody else was kind of lackluster. Ron DeSantis said a lot of good things, but it's just so lackluster. It's just not worth paying attention to. Chris Christie, just a clown show, just a disgrace. Again, same stuff. Nobody really stood out but Vivek, in my personal opinion. Vivek blew the night up, though. He did a great job highlighting real fundamental things, saying the things nobody else has the guts to say. All right, here's clip two from Vivek.
Mr. Ramaswamy, any daylight between you and the candidates we just heard in this issue on what you would tell the prime minister?
Not in terms of what I would tell the prime minister, no. In fact, I would go one step further. The founding vision of Israel was based on the idea that they don't want to depend on anybody else's sympathy or direction in defending themselves. So what I would tell Bibi is that Israel has the right and the responsibility to defend itself. I would tell him to smoke those terrorists on his southern border, and then I'll tell him, as president of the United States, I'll be smoking the terrorists on our southern border. That's his responsibility. This is our responsibility. That's how we move forward. But I want to be careful to avoid making the mistakes from the neocon establishment of the past. Corrupt politicians in both parties spent trillions, killed millions, made billions for themselves in places like Iraq and Afghanistan, fighting wars that sent thousands of our sons and daughters, people my age, to die in wars that did not advance anyone's interests, adding $7 trillion to our national debt. And Joe Biden sold off our foreign policy. Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, got a $5 million bribe from Ukraine. That's why we're sending $200 billion back to that same country. The fact of the matter is the Republican Party is not that much better. You have the likes of Nikki Haley, who stepped down from her time at the UN. Bankrupt or in debt was her family. Then she becomes a military contractor. She joins the board of Boeing and otherwise, and is now a multimillionaire. So I think that that's wrong when Republicans do it or Democrats do it. That's the choice we face. Do you want a leader from a different generation who's going to put this country first? Or do you want Dick Cheney in 3-inch heels?
All right, Mr.
In which case,
Ramaswamy.
We've got two of them on stage tonight.
Mr. Ramaswamy, thank you.
They keep cutting off Vivek. Everybody else gets a chance to finish, even if they go over their time slightly, as long as it's only a couple of seconds. They don't interrupt anybody else, but they do Vivek every single time. But he nailed it. Look, this clown, this hawkish clown, literally got rich on war propaganda. Okay, on the military-industrial complex, Nikki Haley literally got her family rich. And so he brings up this question about Israel. Why do we have to double down and defend Israel and pay a ton of money? We shouldn't. Israel's got problems on their southern border, but so do we. Let them take care of their problems and keep their independence and sovereignty, and let's do the same here at home. But see, nobody has the guts to really back that play up from Vivek. Nobody has the guts to really say that at all. It's a sad tale to tell. I agree that Israel has every right to defend itself. So does every sovereign nation. Anyway, great stuff. Here's Vivek clip 3 now on another topic. Uh-oh, we lost Liz.
Mr. Ramaswamy, would you like to take that one?
There we go.
Absolutely. I think the scourge of anti-Semitism across this country, including at places like my alma maters and places like Brooklyn Bridge in New York, it's sad to see, but here's what history teaches us. Anti-Semitism is a symptom of a deeper cancer in a country, in a society that is lost, and we are lost. Several years ago, when I wrote my first book, Woke Inc., I was talking about they were chanting death to America. Death to white people, death to Christians. Nobody was waking up back then. Now it's even bad. Now they're saying death to Israel and worse. So it is wrong, but we have to get to the root cause here. Now, I think it's really important that we do this through leadership, not censorship. Leadership means fill that void with purpose and meaning. Dilute this wokeism and anti-Semitism to irrelevance. These kids, they have no idea what the heck they're even talking about when they're siding with Hamas over Israel. They are fools. But I also want to caution here, if we go the direction of Ron DeSantis or Nikki Haley, with whom I respectfully disagree on this issue, pro-censorship, telling student groups to disband, mark my words, soon they will say if you question a vaccine and its side effects, you're a bioterrorist. Soon they will say that if you show up at a school board meeting, you're a domestic terrorist. Soon if they say that J6 prisoners should be released, you're an insurrectionist terrorist. So that's where this road ends. We don't quash this with censorship because that creates a worse underbelly. We quell it through leadership by calling it out. These university administrators have lost their way, and we need leadership at the top in the United States of America that restores our founding values and that has no place for this kind of anti-Semitic hate. That's where I stand while respecting our Constitution.
There you have it. Again, they chopped him off, but he's speaking truth to power here. He's saying, look, I agree that all the semitism of anybody is bad, but it's not just bad against Israel or the Jew. It's bad against anybody. Whether you say whites are the bad guy, Jews are the bad guy, this hatred of any kind towards anybody is wrong. Vivek's nailing it. He's right as rain. But again, they cut him off. No one backs him up. All they want to do is promote their hawkish agenda. You got a hawkish Haley running around, in her high heels, getting rich off the military-industrial complex. And you got Vivek calling her out. And everybody else sits by silent with their mouths gaping open. What the heck is happening? No wonder we're in trouble. Hang tight, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Corey Myers. South Carolina Senator Tim Scott says America needs to invest in itself to stave off inflation. During the third GOP presidential debate in Florida last night, Scott said more oil leases will drive gas prices down and help American families.
First thing I would do as President of the United States is I would sign the XL Keystone Pipeline.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said he would reverse Bidenomics and focus on stable prices. Entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy said more drilling and fracking would be a good start to bring energy prices down. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie said energy is the key to bringing down prices in every market, including groceries. And former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley said she would suspend the gas and diesel tax. In international airspace near Yemen, an American military drone has been downed. A U.S. defense official stated that the MQ-9 Reaper drone was targeted and shot down while operating in international airspace over waters that are also considered international territory. The Iranian-backed Houthis have taken responsibility for that incident. Officials from U.S. Central Command are currently investigating the matter. More aid making its way to Gaza as a possible three-day pause in the Israel-Hamas conflict is discussed.
An additional 80 trucks carrying humanitarian aid are being dispatched into Gaza.
That brings the total to 650. Again, not enough.
According to National Security Council spokesman John Kirby, efforts are ongoing to secure even more aid. He mentioned that over 400 American families have managed to leave the area thus far. Kirby pointed out that there may still be around 500 to 600 families remaining. I'm John Schaefer.
This is USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure-ground burgers are made from single cuts of real, aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order plus free shipping. You'll get four of each pure ground burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
This is indeed the quintessential problem in America. The mainstream press mocks Vivek Ramaswamy, saying he's the most obnoxious guy on the stage. When will his power trip or his, you know, quest for attention end? The sooner the better is what they say. And the mainstream press ignoring him won't answer his questions. The media, the mainstream politicians and everybody else don't know what to do with him. They sit there with their mouths open because he's so bold and in their face. At the same time, they don't deny a single charge that he makes, really. That's really the quintessential problem in America, folks. Look, we the people aren't being listened to. The clown media has proven that they're criminals in bed with government to literally destroy anything we have to say, think, feel, or believe. They've manipulated elections. They've lied to us. They've changed stories. They've literally covered up things that are true and said they're false. They've gone after their enemies, attacking us when we point out the truth, saying that we're terrorists or problems. We've got to change this game, and until we do, folks, it's going to get nothing but worse. But Vivek is being asked now about war, about what would do. And so he said, hey, this anti-Semitism is evil and wrong and wicked. He's right. But it's not just against Jews. You know, I don't know what word to use, but anytime you hate on others based on race or gender or any other fault line, it's evil and wrong, and it needs to stop. Well, anyway, then they ask him about this kind of war. What would he do in the war? What would he do with our military, et cetera, et cetera? He was the only one that wasn't so hawkish. He was the one that wanted to defend the homeland, turn towards home, leave other people to do their thing in their own sovereign worlds and realms, and do our thing. It was great. So I got, four, five, and six. I'm going to play four now, and then we're going to talk about each of these in succession, but they're all three related to virtually the same topic. Here it is, number four.
Mr. Ramaswamy, are you persuaded by President Zelensky's urgent new plea? Where do you stand on more funding?
I'm absolutely unpersuaded. And I'm actually enjoying watching the Ukraine hawks quietly, delicately tiptoe back from their position as this thing has unwound into a disaster. The first half of this race, I was the only person standing for it. Now they're actually quietly coming around to being more cautious, as they should. Level with the American people here. Ukraine is not a paragon of democracy. This is a country that has banned 11 opposition parties. It has consolidated all media into one state TV media arm. That's not democratic. It has threatened not to hold elections this year unless the U.S. forks over more money. That is not democratic. It has celebrated a Nazi in its ranks, the comedian in cargo pants, a man called Zelensky, doing it in their own ranks. That is not democratic. More facts for you that you won't hear from the mainstream in either party or the mainstream media. The regions of Ukraine that are occupied by Russia right now in the Donbas, Luhansk, Donetsk. These are Russian-speaking regions that have not even been part of Ukraine since 2014, that other people probably couldn't name those provinces for you. Those are the hard facts. And so to frame this as some kind of battle between good versus evil, don't buy it. And I'd like the likes of the sharpest of the war hawks on Ukraine, Nikki Haley, to have some accountability and answer. Do you want to use U.S. taxpayer money to fund the banning of Christians? That is actually what's happening. They're using the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. They have banned them. The Ukrainian parliament just did this last week, supported by our dollars. And I think you owe it to the American people, Nikki, to at least this
Mr.
one time
Ramaswamy,
at least condemn.
Thank you. That's time.
At least
Mr.
to condemn
Ramaswamy,
their banning
you.
Of Christians.
Mr. Ramaswamy,
or else
thank
we're
you.
Talking out of both sides.
Mr. Ramaswamy, thank you. We asked the questions. Ambassador Haley, what is your take on more funding for Ukraine?
I am telling you, Putin and President Xi are salivating at the thought that someone like that could become president. They would love to see
that. The fact of the matter is she doesn't answer the question.
So this is what I will tell you.
We're driving Russia into China's hands because of these foolish policies.
You had your time to talk.
All right, there it is. So listen, they say, you heard the moderator. We ask the questions, Mr. Ramaswamy. You don't. Well, why can't he ask in a debate a colleague a question? And then Nikki Haley doesn't answer. All she does is come back with a mock. Oh, the enemies of liberty would, or the enemies of America would love it if you were president. That's not an answer. That's an ad hominem attack. In other words, let's attack the messenger, but let's not deal with the message. Shame on Nikki for that. What a disgrace. Now, I know they're frustrated with him, but he's asking the hard questions. Look, we should not be backing Ukraine. We don't have any authority. We don't have any money. Okay, there's no reason why we should be doing this, but we are. And Vivek is the only one that's basically calling a halt to that con game and truly saying, look, here's what they're doing with the money, guys. This is disaster. Why are we doing this? Why do we think that Ukraine is better than Russia? They're not. Neither are great actors. Don't misunderstand me. But why 7,000 miles away or whatever the number is, why do we think we have to be in the middle of it? Why do we think we have to be in the middle of Israel and Hamas, Ukraine and Russia? And it goes on and on. Why do we have to be there at all? So let's come home. But Nikki never answered the question. She just did a clown show response. Oh, the bad guys would love it if you were president. They're licking at the chops about that. That's all she can say? Why don't you answer the question, Nikki? Because you can't. Because you're a UN hawk warmonger. And there you go. All right, here's a clip.
Mr. Ramaswamy, I'm looking for specifics. What would you build? Where would you build it? When would they be in the water? How big would the fleet get?
First answer is end the toxic divest to invest program. For people who don't know about that, we're decommissioning ships in the South China Sea. The foundation of war is economics. Rebuild our defense industrial base at home. But here's the dirty little secret. Our actual defense industrial base depends on China for the supply chain, for the F-35 jets, for the ships that we're building. Think about this. Why are we stockpiling that if it isn't to actually be strong against our enemy, China? We depend on them for that, just like we depend on them for pharmaceuticals, just like we depend on them for semiconductors. So here's why we can't get tough with China. It's because we depend on them for our modern way of life, and we have to declare economic independence from our enemy. That's the Declaration of Independence that Thomas Jefferson, at the age of 33, would have signed. And today, if he were alive, that's the Declaration of Independence that I will sign as the next president. I do have to recognize that Ron DeSantis was correct about acknowledging Nikki Haley's tough talk when she was ambassador to the UN, calling China our great friend, bringing the CCP to South Carolina. What he left out, though, Ron, and be honest about it, there was a lobbying-based exemption in that bill that allowed Chinese nationals to buy land within a 20-mile radius of a military base lobbied for by one of your donors. So I think we have to call a spade a spade. We need politicians who are independent of the forces that increase our dependence on China. My message to Xi Jinping is this. You are done buying land in this country. You will not donate to universities in this country. U.S. businesses won't expand into the Chinese market until you play by the same set of rules.
Mr. Ramaswamy,
you're kicked out of the WTO, and you actually have to have accountability for the COVID-19 pandemic financially, which unleashed hell on the world. We have to hold them accountable.
We don't know what to do with you, Mr. Ramaswamy. We just know we just got to get you to stop. Stop. You can't keep telling the people the truth on this stuff. Anyway, good for Vivek. He's right. We've got to cut ties with China from a dependency point of view. Now, we can have trade relations with them, but why be so dependent, including our military, on the communist Chinese? He's right as rain on this. All right, here's clip six. Same topic.
You have a number and a plan.
I think that we need to increase our naval capacity by at least 20% over the course of the next several years. And be able to meet our AUKUS agreement standards. Right now, we are at risk of not even being able to meet our AUKUS standards with Australia and the UK. So what we need to do is have a plan that reverses the trajectory of the divest
Thank
to
you.
Invest program
you, I'd like to
by 20% over the next 3 years.
Governor Chris.
There you have it. In my opinion, great commentary. You ask what needs to be done. The only thing I would say is this. We've got to be very careful when we want to do this that we don't ask for more money for it. That's one thing that Vivek didn't really focus on. But we've got to have a plan where we say, look, we're not going to increase spending for this. We're simply going to reduce spending, but we're also going to divert spending to this land. Anyway, great work by Vivek. We're going to skip the next break because we don't have time for it. So if you can skip that, Lizzie. All right, and then we're going to do a clip seven, different topic. Here we go.
Mr. Ramaswamy. We've talked about this. You campaign on TikTok. How do you get TikTok banned if you use it?
Well, I want to laugh at why Nikki Haley didn't answer your question, which is about looking at families in the eye. In the last debate, she made fun of me for actually joining TikTok while her own daughter was actually using the app for a long time. So you might want to take care of your family first.
Leave my daughter out of your voice.
Your adult daughter. The next generation of Americans are using it. And that's actually the point. You have her supporters propping her up. That's fine. Here's the truth.
You're just
the easy scum. Answer is actually to say that we're just going to ban one app. We got to go further. We have to ban any U.S. company actually transferring U.S. data to the Chinese. Here's a story most people don't know. Airbnb hands over U.S. user data to the CCP. Now, that's a U.S.-owned company. So this is the problem when you have Republicans that temporarily go the way the winds blow, and now it's popular to talk tough on China. When she was U.N. ambassador, called them literally, her words, not mine, our great friend. You can't be fair-weather fans of the right policy. Get to the root cause. Even U.S. companies in Silicon Valley are regularly doing it. Cut the virtue signaling. The fact of the matter is Democrats are on TikTok today. The only person, one of the few people who is putting up content the way the actual algorithms work, speaking for pro-Israel views or others, is
Ambassador
me.
Haley,
more Republicans will join it. But stop U.S. companies from turning over data to Chinese companies. That's the real answer,
like,
not the virtue signaling.
All right, the moderators don't get the chance to respond to attacks, but you do, they say, and they turn it over to Nikki. Now, I'm going to be the first to say this. I don't think that Vivek should have attacked Nikki Haley's daughter. I personally do believe that you should leave families out of it. The daughter's innocent. The daughter has nothing to do with this. The daughter's being a kid. But at the same time, I will say this. You know, I think there's a better response to why Vivek is on TikTok. You know, you can say what you guys want, but you're going to blame me for being on TikTok. And you guys literally call China our most favored nation trading partner. Is China our most favored nation trading partner or an enemy? Which is it? Because if they're our most favored trading partner, there's no reason I can't use their software. It's part of open free trade, right? The app's free. There's no reason if it's our most favored nation trading partner that I can't use the app, right? So which is it to you people? You want to have it both ways. You want to say they're our favorite nation trading partner, our protected one. Laws give special privilege to China, everything else. We overlook their violations of human rights and everything else. We're dependent on China like you wouldn't believe, including our military. And then you guys want to get mad at me for TikTok? Are you kidding me right now? So there was a better response for Vivek. He should not attack the daughter of Nikki because, again, I believe that children should be left out of this too. Where does it go next? Attacking somebody's wife and putting children in harm's way. And I think that was a mistake by Vivek. I'll be clear about that. However, I believe Nikki's in the wrong, though. Why attack Vivek for being on TikTok when the whole of our government says China is our most favored nation trading partner? In fact, we're so afraid of China that we don't even dare declare Taiwan a separate country. We're afraid we kowtow to this one China policy, right? Well, point that out, Vivek, because you got a lot more clear points to be made there, and it will stand up to scrutiny a lot better than what you did. You made a mistake on that one, buddy. I don't mean to be rude. I'm just telling you. That was a snafu, and it didn't look well. You got booed the only time last night. Other than that, your comments are spot on. Your points are right. It's just the way you did it isn't very classy, okay? All right, next clip, 38. Here we go.
Mr. Ramaswamy, weigh in on this. Ways that you can improve people's financial condition in the short term.
Right, and as a CEO, the economic question is core to my vision and policy prescription for this country. Increase the supply of everything. It's the law of supplies and demand. Increase the supply of energy. That brings down the cost of energy, grows the economy. Drill, frack, burn coal, embrace nuclear. Increase the supply of labor in this country. Stop using our taxpayer money to pay people more to stay at home instead of to go to work. Increase the supply of housing. People don't talk about this one in the Republican Party. The land use restrictions are constricting the supply of housing. That's making housing more expensive for ordinary Americans across this country. So that's the true answer. And I think it takes a CEO in the White House who actually understands this to get this done. Because Americans at home, they know the Bidenomics is a lie. Prices are going up. Interest rates and mortgages to buy your home are going up, but wages have remained flat. That's the hard diagnosis for our economy. And this is about more than just our economy. I say this as a member of my generation. I'm 38 years old. I'm the youngest person ever to run for U.S. president as a Republican. The reason my generation has lost our sense of national pride in part is because people in my generation feel like the American dream isn't available to them. And part of the reason why is we've burdened them with four-year college degrees that did not serve their head start on the American dream. People will be more proud of a country if we're all making more money in that country. This is how we revive national pride and our identity, and it will take a CEO in the White House with zero-based budgeting, by the way, to take on the federal debt.
I interrupt them again. See, every single time they interrupt them, they don't do that to others, by the way. But he's right about the zero-based budgeting. He's right about that it's a supply and demand issue, and if you make greater supply, that's a good start, especially when it comes to land use. Look, if you go west of the Mississippi, and he didn't make this point, but it's critical to make, you go west of the Mississippi, most of the land is dishonestly, immorally, unconstitutionally controlled by the feds. That's got to stop. No wonder in Utah land prices are so high. We just get like 15% of the land to share all the private owners of land. The government controls and manipulates the rest of it. Shame on them. Well, that's general economic solutions that he's providing that I think are incredible, and he's right as rain. But then they turn it to, I don't know what you call it, the government spending of money. How would you deal with Social Security, etc.? Everybody else, clown show. Here's Vivek on this issue. He's right again. 39.
Mr. Ramaswamy, have you determined if you would touch entitlements and Social Security? What, if any, reforms are you looking at?
So this is really important right now. We're working within the last window I believe we will have to actually fix this problem while still leaving Social Security and Medicare benefits for current seniors intact. I'll tell you how. The other candidates assume, like Nikki, that it can't be done. And on her math, she's right about it. But her math assumes $7 trillion of our $33 trillion national debt going to fight wars like in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. Minus that, our national debt would be $26 trillion right now. Then you go to zero-based budgeting, which I've proposed as a CEO. It's how I've run businesses. It's how many CEOs run businesses. Don't use last year's budget as the baseline. Start with zero as the baseline and then ask what's actually necessary. 75% headcount reduction. Yes, that is severe in the number of federal employees in the Washington, D.C. bureaucracy. Shut down redundant agencies that should not exist. Deliver economic growth as a positive tailwind. I think we can get to 3, 4, maybe even 5% GDP growth if we really take the regulatory shackles off of our economy. And against that backdrop, I believe this is our last best window to be able to take care of our national debt problem through those severe measures, including sacrificing the foreign wars that many bloodthirsty members of both parties have a hunger for. That's the one secret for how we're going to be able to do this, and that requires discipline. So we can't have the first conversation we were having sending foreign aid willy-nilly to countries whose national debt per capita is less than ours.
Thank you,
but
Mr.
if we
Ramaswamy.
Do this correctly, I think this is our last window, and it'll take a CEO from the next generation to do it.
Cut him off again, as always. It's the way they do it. But they let everybody else finish. Anyway, the point is that he's right about this zero-based budgeting thing, and that's what I've always talked about, too. When I provide solutions, I say, listen, here's the way Kevin, whacked out Kevin, that now got fired for not getting it done, and MAGA Mike, hopefully Mike Johnson, will do this. You've got to start out with zero-based budgeting. Okay, you've got to start out and say this. We are not going to pass any omnibus spending package at all. We're going to start out with zero-based budgeting. We're going to bring items up one at a time. And these single issue bills will be brought up one at a time, and we will debate them and find out if the item is constitutional. If it is, we're going to fund it. If it's not, we're not. And if you say, well, Sam, we can't just crash the plane, we got to fund some things and work our way out of it, then fine, you can fund something with an extraction plan if it's unconstitutional. But it's going to be single issue at a time, zero-based budgeting. Vivek is calling for it. Rand Paul has been calling for it. He's been calling for actually a 1% reduction in spending, not just zero base, but a 1% reduction. All these plans are good, but Vivek nailed it at the end. Then he said, look, we have got to have discipline. He couldn't be more right if he tried. All right, here's the next one. This is number 10.
Special forces in Mexico, shoot them stone cold dead at the border.
One thing I just want to say in how we're talking about this issue is, you know, like Ron, I've actually met many parents across this country who have lost their kids to laced pharmaceuticals that have fentanyl in them. The right. Only thing I would ask, Ron, I think you'd be on the same page with me on this. Let's not even call that an overdose.
Right.
That is not an overdose. That is poisoning. If you put that fentanyl in a Big Mac, we would not call that an overdose. You'd call it what it is. It's closer to bioterrorism. And I say that because as it uniquely relates to this crisis, that does warrant more aggressive means to deal with it. So there's a new presidential election in Mexico in 2024. People may not be aware of that. It's going to be someone other than Obrador, who has been a disaster in Mexico. I think he's even mentioned me obliquely in speeches to say that somebody who would do this shouldn't get anywhere near the White House. Well, AMLO, get out of the way. There's going to be someone else in charge. I hope to build a good relationship with that next president of Mexico. We'll use our own military to seal our own southern border. What we need to do is stop using our military to protect somebody else's border halfway around the world when we're short right here at home. Get serious about protecting this border. And then the other thing that hasn't been discussed is the northern border. I'm the only candidate on the stage, as far as I'm aware, who has actually visited the northern border. There was enough fentanyl that was captured just on the northern border last year to kill 3 million Americans. So we got to just skate to where the puck is going, not just where the puck is. Don't just build the wall, build both walls. Can't just complete the wall, use the military to seal the Swiss cheese for the tunnels that they're actually building underneath that wall.
Thank you, Mr. Ramaswamy.
That's what needs to be practical and actually get this job done.
Yeah, cut him off again there, moderator. You know, you're making yourself foolish by doing that over and over and over. It just shows how much you hate him. But you know what? Vivek is right again. He's highlighting this reality, this important point that, you know what? They're not just, you know, there's not just overdoses. They're lacing other drugs with this evil drug. People take, say, marijuana or some other drug. I'm not even an expert at this. And then they have this fentanyl in it. They've been poisoned. Because marijuana wouldn't kill you, or some of these other drugs wouldn't kill you. It's the fentanyl, so it's poisoning. He's right, and it requires a greater response. But no one else has the guts to look at our southern border. They're too busy around the world playing cop, right? Anyway, they finish on the quintessential issue of abortion. And I think Vivek is spot on this one, too. He brings up unique ways of thinking of things. Everybody else on the main stage, instead of admitting you got some valid points and highlighting some of these things like they should, they just dismiss it because, man, it's out of the box thinking and they can't take it at the old guard. But here's Vivek, final quote of the night. I got all Vivek's clips and played them for you. Why did I play his and nobody else's? Because I believe everybody else just has standard talking points from the Republican old guard party. Nothing new or valuable or unique at all. Vivek's the only one that's bringing new thinking to the table that's unique. Whether you agree with it perfectly or not isn't the point. The point is he's talking about real solutions outside the box, and he's not afraid to talk about anything, it seems like. Here he is, one last time on abortion.
I mean, I think Nikki Haley didn't invoke being honest. And I at least want to give credit to Tim Scott. He's honest about where he stood. And I think you should be honest, not making a political calculus, but to say, if a bill is served up, would you sign it? Here's my view on this. Speaking as a man, they say men have trouble speaking on this issue. I don't think we need to be that way. It was my home state of Ohio. I'm upset about this yesterday that passed a constitutional amendment that now effectively codifies a right to abortion all the way up to the time of birth without parental consent. Why? It's back to that Republican culture of losing. The Republicans did not have an alternative amendment or vision on the table. I know Ohio. I was born, raised, and I lived there. It's representative of the country. If in the state of Ohio we talked about access to contraception, adoption, and also here's the missing ingredient in this movement, sexual responsibility for men. We live in an era of reliable genetic paternity tests that are 100% reliable. So we can say men deserve more responsibility. So we can tell women we're all in this together. It's not men's rights versus women's rights. It's about human rights. And I come back to that case that Clarence Thomas spoke of. A pregnant woman walking down the street. She's assaulted. The unborn child dies in that assault. You find me one person in this country who says that that criminal does not deserve liability for that death, you won't find one. That says we share the same instincts on this issue, but we require, I believe, a different generation of leadership to actually lead us forward and unite the country on this honesty.
Yeah, just interrupt. He's making one of the most valuable points of the whole night, because I believe that the Republicans want to win. Pro-life is the issue they need to stand with. You say, well, Sam, that isn't true. They're getting trounced all over the country because they're losing on this issue. Lies. Wrong. Not true. Ron spoke out about it. He's right. Now Tim Scott speaking out to some degree. He's right. Vivek Ramaswamy speaking out. He's right. Look, we didn't have any alternative in Ohio. Why didn't that Proposition 1 or whatever you want to call it, Issue 1, why did it just say, do you want to codify the right to murder babies in the Constitution, yes or no? And people said, yes, we do. Why didn't we have an idea that said, you know what, do we want abortion when a woman doesn't want a baby? Or should we, you know what, channel that baby to adoption or other services? In other words, what did Republicans, what did conservatives, what did the pro-life crowd put on the table for an option? And Vivek is right. The answer is nothing. So, of course, you lose when you have nothing. When you don't have an alternative, when you don't articulate your position, when you don't put something in place, the activism of the Republicans is zero. The activism of the Democrats or the liberals or the pro-death folks on this is off the charts. They're all over the country pushing for their agenda. Republicans struggle to even talk about pro-life. They're like, oh, we won. We're already done with all that. No, you're losing at every turn now. There's more abortions now than there ever were. Chemical abortions, pills being shipped across state lines, states literally doubling down and codifying abortion in their all the way up till the time of birth. This is the quintessential divisionary issue, I'm telling you right now. And Americans and pro-life folks and Republicans and whoever else is for our cause, conservatives have better get it together and a better stand up, and they better do it fast because you're getting slaughtered. So if you want to know what's up for 2024 and you're worried as a Republican, the answer is you've got to articulate what you believe in and give us a choice to stand for it. You can't stand for pro-life in Ohio because you never got the chance. And then they want to come back and say, well, hey, pro-life isn't popular in Ohio. Well, of course it's not if there's no way to codify your stand for it. What could I have voted for? All I could have said was no. That's a negative. So a lot of people might have said no. But without a better alternative, I mean, who wants to just be the no guy? A lot of people are like, I'm not even going to vote. I don't want to vote no, and I'll just stay out of it. There's no way to win this one. And so the bad guys all got together and voted yes. And now it's codified to murder children in Ohio. Each state will make their statements, but the states will divide. You'll either be in a pro-life or a pro-death state very soon. And every other quintessential guideline will follow. All Christian values will be on the chopping block. And you will either become a more Christian state and pro-life and constitutional, or you will throw that out, the baby with the bathwater. And the states are going to get further and further and further apart. That's my sad prediction. Unless we the people become immoral and a religious people once again. That is the only real answer. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hopefully it was educational. A little entertaining too, huh? Vivek calling Nikki Haley, in 3-inch heels? Kind of funny. All right. Thanks for being alongside with the ride. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Donate liberally, would you please? God save the Republic of the United States of America.